Hello and welcome to Shoes Off No Cap, a podcast where we talk about all things dance. We are back with Maybelline Wong, this time talking about building her dance studio business. If you haven't listened to the episode where she shared about her dance life and teaching experience, do listen to episode 19 so you have a better picture of who Maybelline is. But in this episode, we're focusing on her as the co-founder and creative director at Babel Dance, one of Malaysia's newest and most exciting dance academy and agency. So keep listening if you're curious about how and when Babel Dance started, as well as the ups and downs of running a business. Without further ado, let's sit back, relax, and dive deep into creating a dance business with no cap. Can you just tell us how and when Babel Dance started?
So one of my students from Soul to Soul, back then I used to teach in Soul to Soul, I think Izzaz know that. So one of my students, her name is Grace. So she introduced me to her friend called Boon. So Boon is the owner of Babel. And we kind of clicked as he saw my vision and what I can do with or for my students, because he's close to Grace. Basically, he just saw Grace's videos and the progress and all. So he was quite interested to have me on board. So at that point, I hesitated. I actually didn't want to, because remember when I told you guys I used to teach classes in the gym? And then I told myself at that point, because I was a very young dancer and my ego was very big, because wow, Miss Nina, dancer, Maybelline Wong. And I was like, I never want to teach in a gym again, because they're not serious about dance. You know, I want to teach in a dance studio, because everyone is serious. They go there to a dance studio, not to a gym to work out. I had to eat my own words, basically. I spoke to my boyfriend then, Adam, who is still a very close friend of mine and a mentor to me. I asked for his advice and he's like, okay, I think it's time for you to try. You know, you've been freelancing for so long. You've been teaching in different studios for so long. So yeah, try what happens if you have one base? So I was like, okay, sure. And then so I joined Babel as a full-time dance instructor, and then classes grew, and then I started adding to the team. So as we progressed along, it just became more and more obvious that we should spin Babel Dance into a separate business and not just a department in the gym anymore. Yeah, but the big question was how? How am I going to do that? So I had no business experience. I was always a freelance dancer. I am eternally grateful that I met Boon through Grace, and that he is a great partner and also a great mentor who taught me the business aspect of starting a business. And also Adam, who has always been in my journey, who has constantly just kept advising me, because they're both entrepreneurs themselves. They advised me how to run it or how to start. So there were a lot of trial and errors, but I think I've always trusted them to guide me. And also at that point I'm close to my mom and my sister. They were also very encouraging. They're like, yeah, I think, you know, it's time to try something and move forward. Take chances, you know? Yeah, they were there to kind of encourage, but also ground me. So yeah, that's how Babel Dance came about.
Was this in 2018? That you mentioned just now?
No, it was in 2019. We founded in 2019, July. So 2017 onwards, I was just full-time teaching in Babel Gym, just as an instructor.
So is Babel Dance now its own entity, or is it still under Babel?
It is both. We're still under Babel, but we function as a separate company on our own. Yeah, so we have a different P&L and we have a different focus, but I always still try to align with the vision of Babel. But basically, we operate in our own way.
What was your mission for Babel Dance at the start, and has it changed since then?
It hasn't really changed, to be honest. So I have three quotes or three sentences that Babel Dance live by, or something that I always encourage myself and my team to come back to it whenever we have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. So the first one is to make dance accessible to all. Dance accessible, we're talking about pricing, not just about pricing, but also to make it accessible to the people who want to learn dance but are too afraid to do it, or people who feel like they cannot dance, or people who feel like they're too old to dance. Yeah, to be able to have classes of different types, or the right instructor to be able to kind of reach out to these people. So that's the first one. The second one is to help others discover the passion of dance, which is kind of a little bit of what I explained earlier. Mm-hmm. And lastly, is to push dance forward in the industry.
Can you expand a bit on that last one, push dance forward in the industry? Like, what do you mean by that?
I feel like we all know that dancers don't really get as much attention, maybe, mm-hmm. or get paid as well as the other industries. Of course, I feel like TikTok has definitely elevated the visibility of dance and made it more, not just accessible, but accessible and just more like out there, you know?
Yeah.
So if people hate on TikTok, like you cannot, dancers who hate on TikTok, you cannot deny that TikTok has made it accessible to so many people. And so many people are trying dance because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to your question, pushing dance forward. Yeah. So it's basically, I would say, having clients or brands look at dancers or dance company or dance studios like, oh shit, okay, they actually can do this, or they can provide this, or they actually did this very professionally, and basically just heighten the perception of what companies or brands think of dancers. Because I feel like when I was starting out as a dancer, they sometimes would speak to me as though I don't know anything. And sometimes I get bullied, like, oh, she doesn't know this, or she's just like, just ask her to sign this agreement only lah, they won't read anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's a lot of things that dancers that I didn't know when I was a young dancer. And I feel like right now it's the time where I'm able to, or I've learned over the years to present myself better and to have a certain voice in the industry, in the creative industry, and also to present dance in a more professional manner.
I mean, this can totally be like its own separate episode, you know?
Yeah,
how we can push dance forward. But like all difficult problems, they require very difficult solutions and multifaceted solutions. So we are just going to leave that as that. But one thing I'd like to say is that your mission for Babel Dance, like, I think it's very, very commendable. I always like it. I always get a kick out of seeing people, like, especially like, they don't believe that they can dance. They always have like an interest to dance. They don't believe that they can do it. And then once they step into the class, and then you go through it again and again slowly, and then suddenly they just miraculously at the end of the class, you know, through their own effort, they're able to do it. And that look on their face, you know, like the way their faces light up, you know, wow, that really, really like, oof, I love that one.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yes, I love that moment too. When you see it in their face that they didn't think they could do it, right? Oh, I love it. I feel like sometimes, because I feel like because even for me, like, I got caught up with the whole being a choreographer, you know, and creating this dance choreography or posting like videos and getting this attraction or likes or shares and all that, or being a famous dance teacher. I did get kind of caught up in it a little bit, but I think as I grow older, I just realized that the human aspect to dance is just a lot more fulfilling. And exactly what you said earlier is just like when you see someone who didn't think they could dance and they could, it might be one class, it might be like 10 classes. It's just something that you cannot quantify, you know, like how do you determine that as, like, how do you tell your mom, like sometimes, like, how do you tell your mom, I know I don't have this and this and don't have this, but hey, like this feeling I see on people's faces is something that cannot be bought. You just can't. So back to the mission. Because of that, then that's why I that's one of our mission, to make dance accessible. And that's why I have some of the beginners classes that memang is just very, very simple. One of my favorite classes to teach is called Groove Thang. And I also call it a little bit, like, I name the classes, which I know it's kind of frowned upon to some dancers. But the whole point is really to make it just not so intimidating. Like, I can't call it groove technique class. Like, what is groove? How do you explain groove to some? So I just kind of like, just something a bit more, I can be relatable or easier to remember, like Groove Thang. And then I always, because Groove Thang is actually a song. An R&B song that I really like. So, and I always play it in class because it's a playlist of songs that I play. And and I love teaching at class because I get so many different people coming in and we all just have a good time just dancing.
I love that. Now that you've kind of like gone from a freelance dancer to a businesswoman.
Oh my God.
Every good business, you know, it thrive with a good team. So like, how do you choose who to work with?
Okay, so first of all, I'm really blessed to be working with a great team. I have Eliza and Donna, my team, who are both full-timers with me. And they're both amazing at what they do in their own way. I don't think I have so much more of a like criteria, but I believe communication, the communication is the key. Like when you hire someone or you want to work with someone, communicate with them to understand how they can serve the business best and how the business can serve them. And it may change along the way. Sometimes it aligns, sometimes it doesn't align, which is totally normal. Yeah. It's communication. I feel like that's one of the way to in the process of me hiring people. Mm-hmm. But also I feel like it sounds a bit like all up in the air, but I feel like if you run a business with good intention and energy, the right people will come to you.
Mm.
And I feel like that's how I got some of my clients. But for my team, I feel like that's how Nicole and Olivia also kind of joined it, because it also happened quite organically in them kind of joining the fold as part-time instructors, because they were already my long-term students and part of Team Mayhem, which is some I kind of created this name when I was still teaching in Soul to Soul. And I've seen them grow as dancers and human and teachers. So it kind of felt very natural for them to join myself and Eliza and Donna to grow Babel Dance into the next phase, even though they're just part-timers and teaching classes. Yeah, I feel like it's in choosing people, like you choose the people who show ability and talent, but also just never discount that the universe will bring the right people to you, you know. Okay, honestly, it's not the most qualitative answer that I'm giving you. but it's what I believe in. I definitely want to work with people who are on the same page with us, with me and Boone, and willing to grow despite some hiccups or hurdles.
All right, so let's say that you will conduct a seminar titled Business Skills for Dancers. What are you going to talk about?
I think going back to what I mentioned earlier about presenting yourself, I feel like communication skills with clients, students, very important, whether verbal or written. And I guess because I come from I majored in PR, so I feel like that has definitely helped me in the way I present myself, the way I speak to you, the way I speak to people, both verbal and written. Mm-hmm. So I would say communication skills, knowing your worth. So don't get shortchanged for your value of your art. So like in terms of negotiating and contracting. Yeah, I mean, this is something that I'm still learning. I think this is so important because this is something that I am learning and I continue to keep learning in negotiating and contracting. And I have lost jobs because I wanted to change the agreement and other dancers or other choreographers didn't do that. And a couple with other issues, they felt like I was a bit too hard to work with. Mm-hmm. And then they dropped me because they're not used to the going back and forth with agreement. They just didn't like it. And to me, it's ridiculous because I'm not going to name the company, but a company that they are, which involves so much of the contracts that they do for other people and their own people. It's like when dancers do that to you, then you don't want to tolerate that. It's a bit disappointing. Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. But I feel like I wish more dancers would know that. And I actually don't really know much about it, so I'm still learning about it. So, okay. I don't think I'm answering this question very well, but I guess it's more of like, I'm not ready to do this yet in the future. So thank you for asking this question. I think it's something that in the future, we can definitely look into it. And maybe getting more, like not just me, but because I know some of the dancers who studied law.
Yeah.
And I feel like these are some things that basic kind of knowledge, or it could be a simple setup of like, okay, if dancers have to do agreement, can they pay a small fee to these dancers who have studied law to look through it and then like kind of see what are the things that needs changes and make it normal. Make it normal for dancers to go through contracts and demand for change if need be.
Negotiating skills.
Yes. Yeah, I'm definitely changing your question to if I can organize a seminar and just get the right people to come in and talk about it, I would. But personally, okay, stick to the question, Maybelline. Okay, myself, what can I teach?
Yes, what can you teach?
I guess marketing yourself beyond social media. I'm not very good at social media, to be honest. I'm still learning. A lot of people like Nicole would be a better one. Okay, back, Babeline, yourself. Yeah. Come back to yourself. marketing yourself beyond social media. I'm talking about networking both within and out of dance industry. So PR agencies, brands, connecting to traditional media, you know, newspaper, TV, or new media, online articles. I feel like dance is sometimes overlooked that that's important in building a business, to have your brand to be seen. That's what I try to do with Babel Dance.
I have another side question. Like, what do you think brands or like organizers that normally employ dancers, what do you think they are looking for in dancers' personal brands?
You know? It depends. Do they want to collaborate with you as a brand, or they just want to hire your services to dance for their events?
Let's say the first one.
Okay. If you're going with the first one, then they'll look more... Okay, this is just according to my experience. I feel like brands like to see that you are able to communicate well with your audience, that you're able to present yourself very clearly in your content, your videos, your captions, your intention of the class or the event, or the focus. Like for me, I naturally just do more women empowerment related work. And whenever I put that out in, whether it's my personal one or Babel Dance, sometimes I would get client who would tell me like, hey, I saw this, you know, you guys did this really well. And I knew that because it was very clearly presented. Yeah. So, and then because brands always look for like, okay, then if I have a client, let's say, okay, it's a PR agency. If I have a client that has this focus, oh, I know that Babel Dance is able to bring up that message through whatever they do. Mm-hmm. So yes, still going back to communication skills, I feel. Not just mm-hmm. the client, but also just the way you storytell to your audience. And that's just one thing, but also just being accountable and responsible and professional in your interactions with them. So things like having a recap email after your call.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Having a proper invoice quote system.
Yeah. I think this is something like every freelance dancers, even though they're not a, you know, like a business like Babel Dance, they should do it. They should know about it.
Yeah. I definitely didn't know as well until obviously when I started getting my own jobs as a freelancer, then I was asking usually my close friends or boyfriend, then like, okay, how do I do an invoice? And then they would teach me, you know, things like that. So yeah. So if back to your question about if you have a seminar title for business skills, I think it would be definitely financial planning and record keeping would definitely be one of the topics that we need to get someone to teach.
Do you have any suggestions as to like where our listeners can find information about those two things?
I have been very blessed that I have people teaching me or people in my team to do it for me. So I don't have an answer for you right now, but if I find out from my colleagues, I will let you guys know.
All right.
Yeah. Google, guys, Google.
Yeah, but I this is such a great question. It's just like it's a food for thought, like, you know, like how in the future, you know, I might do something like that when I'm ready. Yeah. Right now, I don't feel like I'm ready at all because Babel Dance is such early stage of it and it's such like an early little startup, you know. I definitely can't do this right now, but if I can organize something like this, I definitely would. Thanks to you guys. I think these questions really got me thinking.
You're welcome.
And I know that like also then I can also count on you guys to come and also promote it, you know.
Oh yes, of course. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Speaking of being like a startup, right? Like Babel Dance as a startup. I've personally like worked with a startup before as a freelance writer, and like startups, they have their ups and downs, lots of them. So like, I was just wondering, like for Babel Dance, are there any like major setbacks that you experienced or something that you could have like done better this past like 2-ish years?
There's so many things that could have been done better, but I think the main thing comes down to something that I feel like I would like to work on is giving a clearer brief. Also back down to communication, like a clearer project brief so that things doesn't get lost in translation in terms of expectation or execution or tone of messaging or, yeah, this is something I'm still learning. I would say to, a solid brief.
So like, let's not end this section with like such a low note, you know, on like things you could have done better. Let's end it by asking you what your favorite thing about Babel Dance that you've worked on.
Wow.
No two or three choices, son.
Okay. First of all, I feel this. I have been just immensely proud and grateful in like the past 2 years to be able to work on so many different things. Okay. I feel like, all right. Okay. Yeah. If I have to choose one, top of my head would be something that we have never done before, which is the Pride event with some of Malaysian drag queens. I think Diana probably tuned into one of it. So we did a Pride event with four Malaysian drag queens over MCO. Yeah, so MCO, obviously, we all know that it was like hard to get jobs or have an income. So, but I didn't want Babel Dance to just not work and chill. So I was looking for different things to do that we won't usually be able to do. Like I usually, if let's say if I was teaching classes, I would not have the time, probably would not have the time to do an event like that, which requires actually kind of what you guys are doing, like a pre-recording sessions with different talks with different drag queens on different topics. And also finally having sort of like a round table kind of panel discussion with them. Yeah. And then we also created, we remotely showed some content, some dance content together. So we created like some dance moves and then sent like tutorials to them. So then they were like learning and then they were asking like how, and they were so excited to learn it too. Then they kind of told us, okay, the theme would be just like, you know, just play with color. So then we were also intimidated like, cause their makeup like fucking June, right? They're like amazing with it, you know? So we're like, okay, I really don't want to look like babies. How do you look like babies? And it was just so cool because I think we often work with dancers or dance students or, you know, but to work with different performers and not like just musicians, but this time around with drag queens, it was just so much fun because they just have this next level of showmanship, right?
Yeah.
That was so it was so exciting to work with them and to see how they do things and how they execute like performance, and then to hear them talk about it and give us tips on how they do it. And not just that, to also be able to speak about the struggles that they go through being queer and being drag queens was just felt again, just very honored and very humbling and just very excited, you know, to have done that. And very proud. I was very proud of me and my team to have did that together, to also just using our platforms to highlight what they are about, what the drag queens are about, what they do, who they are, and also the struggles that they go through. And it's like, I guess being like a Malaysian, it's something that is a little bit frowned upon.
Yeah,
it's such a taboo. That's a better word.
Yeah.
It's such a taboo to have them on your platform or talk about it, you know.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed that session though. I really learned a lot. Yeah.
I'm so happy. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for organizing that.
Happy, yeah. So yeah, that's my answer.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay, so now we will move to the lightning round.
Jing, jing, jing.
Jing, jing, jing. Jing, jing. During the lightning round, we're just going to ask you a quick series of questions and you should answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh.
Don't even use your brain, you know, like whatever that's in your mouth, you just blare it out, all right?
Use your butt.
Yeah. Okay, don't show your Libra side, basically. That's what you're telling me. Okay, maybe
yeah.
You got this.
Okay, so we might ask you to elaborate a bit, but the first answer, yeah, that one memang kena automatic, you know? So
okay, paham.
Okay, all right,
ready?
All right, let's go.
Okay, first question. Teaching or performing?
Teaching.
Teaching or doing business?
Teaching, for sure, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, man. Business.
All right. Next one. Intensity or consistency? Which one's more important?
I don't have an answer because it depends on your dance goal.
Okay. Let's say my dance goal is to improve.
How much time you have?
My whole life.
Okay, this one, memang, I cannot lightning answer this. It really depends on dance goal and your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one. Which dancer do you think of when you hear the word successful?
Paris Global.
Full package.
Why is that? Okay, now it's time for the elaboration.
Full package. She has a full package. She creates freaking amazing dance choreography. She trains insane armies of dancers. She wins competition in terms of international competition in a small country in New Zealand where the sun rises at the start, you know, like, wow. She choreographs for artists and elevates their art. She is a businesswoman. Mm. She has her own clothing brand aside of dance. She explores her artistry, not just dance, but also as a performer. She ventured into music. She has a great team, a freaking great support system. I mean, I've worked with Royal Family when they came. I brought them over for a show. Freaking solid team. Her dad, Brett, is amazing. He keeps everyone in check. Everyone is so disciplined. The dancers are so disciplined, so respectful. A great team. She has a great freaking team. Yeah, full package. Her body type is not a conventional commercial standard dancer, but freaking hell, she makes her body work like no other. Like, wow, like she inspires other women to embrace their body and who they are, no matter how you look like, how you how the society tell you you should look like screw it all, man. Like, you just show you, just represent yourself to the fullest.
When was the last time you took a class?
UDC 2013.
Oh, was that the one that you got into the select group or something like that? And that was
guys, I got selected.
Oh my god,
how did that feel? I mean, like, that's your idol, and then like, wow, you get selected for select.
Oh my god,
you still remember the choreo?
No, I mean, like, you ask me to do the choreo, no, I can do it.
Not now, but like during the select group time.
So I always, okay, don't say always.
Okay.
Very often forget the choreo when it comes to the selection, because we all know, like, yeah, we all have this before, too. The nerves get the best of you and you, like, you blank out and all that. It happens all the time. So I was in class. This, I think it was probably my second class with her, because in UDC, the teachers would teach a few classes. And I was definitely starstruck and very nervous. She taught a choreo, but I remember telling myself that this is Paris Gobo. You're probably not going to see her again. You don't know, will she ever come to Malaysia? It's such a freaking small country. Would we pay well? Probably not. She's not going to come. I had a chance and I told myself, and I had to self-psych myself, like, you have to go freaking 101% in and just go in. So I remember I was learning, and then when it came to small groups, and that's where I'm like, Maybelline, you got to represent. And I'm never the person that goes first row. I always like second row. Second row, middle or center. That's my sweet spot. Why? Because I have someone in front of me.
Yep.
And then when you're in somewhat in the center, you can feel everyone's energy.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get attention from a teacher, then you kind of in their vision, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah. So that's my sweet spot. And at that point, during the, this is just in split groups. I told myself, maybe you travel this far from Malaysia to Germany, and this is Paris Global. You have to go first row. First row center. You go, once it's your turn, you just go there and drop the space. Okay, just drop. Just go there. Just grow some balls, go. And I psyched myself. And luckily, I was probably the third or fourth group, so I had time to psych myself. So then I went. And then in my head, I told myself, Maybelline, you've watched this woman dance on YouTube for so long.
Yep.
This is the time where you're going to make her watch you. And don't let her not watch you. You have to make her eyes stay on you. And then I was like, okay, sack, sack, sack. So I was like, okay, you have to look at her. You have to look at her. So I did. So I went to the center. I danced and I looked straight in her eyes and I danced. And I know she had problems. She had troubles looking at different than other people, because in my head, I'm like, you're gonna freaking watch me. You're going to freaking watch me. And then after that, I got selected. That happened.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. It was just insane. I didn't know I could do that, because I'm usually not like that. No. Yeah, guys. You never know your full potential unless you're willing to push yourself and take all this risk that you usually wouldn't dare to.
That's a really nice story, Maybelline. Thank you so much for sharing
Thank you for asking.
It's going to be immortalized on the podcast from now on.
I have another follow-up story that's going to be very short.
Yes, let's go.
That video that came up was the pivotal moment of my relationship with my mom.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah.
In what way? Because
she didn't fully support me to be a dancer.
Mm.
But when she watched the video, when it came out on YouTube, she called me and she cried. And she said that I was so good. Every time I say this, I cry. I was so good at it and I looked so happy and so passionate doing it. And she just cried and apologized forever.
No.
Ever trying to like stop me from pursuing dance. And after that, then she just kind of, she had my back like 100% after that.
Sometimes like parents just need like to see that you're thriving and you're happy. Yeah. Before like that, having that proof, like they can't see it unless you show it. Yeah.
But another thing, I know it's lightning round. Yeah. But another thing that I always tell dancers as well, because I know a lot of dancers struggle with like parents' support. Yeah. But on our part, we have to get our parents involved, meaning you have to update your parents, what you're doing, what shows are you doing, who you're dancing with, and then invite them to whether your shows or whatever so that they can see you doing it and see who you're around, what you're doing. Otherwise, they just see you going out performing. They don't know what you're doing, you know? Yeah, be accountable to them too.
That's true. Word, guys, word.
Okay. So next question. What's your morning routine?
Oh, play and feed my cat.
Oh, okay. Cute. How about your nighttime routine?
Play and feed my cat. Other than that, in the morning, I try to work out. Sometimes it happens, sometimes I don't. Another thing I do is cold showers. I like to take cold showers in the morning to wake myself up. Nighttime, I still play with my cat before I sleep. Sometimes I think it changes. I don't have a proper routine. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I listen to a very, very short podcast of anything that I want to reaffirm, because then when I go to sleep, then I hopefully my subconscious kind of it gets in my system. I'm not very consistent with that because sometimes I just freaking hell, I just want to sleep. But when I had more time during the pandemic, I would actually do the same sort of maybe something like 10 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, something I want to reaffirm before I sleep. And then I try to listen to the same thing in the morning.
Okay. Like just to like reinforce it, you know?
Yes.
I might try that.
Yeah.
I might try
But
that.
It cannot be too long because you just like 5, 10, max 15 minutes.
All right. Next one. Name three dancers that really interest you or you learn a lot from recently. Only three, yeah?
Sha. I feel like I learned a lot from Sha.
Yeah, let's go, Sha.
Yeah. Sha's first one. Teddy?
Teddy?
Ooh.
Teddy, yes. We started taking Vogue Femme classes with him. I got stable dance to learn from him just before the lockdown happened again. Third one, Shayla. Okay, I can't
Shayla
remember his full name.
Shayla Tukolani.
Yeah.
Who's
that? Yeah. Shayla. Okay. Let me search on Shayla Tukolani. I am super inspired by him. His choreograph. Him as an artist. He's an artist. He's super interesting to me.
Like, for those of you who don't know, like, look him up on Instagram. Really interesting dancing.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
Shayla
Tukolani.
Shayla Tukolani?
Yes.
Okay. Next question. What's one workout that you absolutely hate, but you feel that you should be doing a lot more?
Mobility work.
What kind?
Oh, so many. Mobility work mainly for opening up my hips so that my knee joints work better.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, opening up your hips, meaning like, I know this is a podcast, an audio podcast. So like, you just have to like describe using words.
I'm a dance teacher. Open up your hips, meaning, say you are in a squat position. Do you know a squat position? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Do you know a sumo squat? Okay. Yeah. So sumo squat, there's like how much of range you can go, right? So if your knees are pointing, say 30 to 40 degrees, that's your max. That means your hip mobility is, your hips are not mobile enough. It cannot open wide enough. If you can go all the way to 180, that's freaking amazing. Oh. I cannot get there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does that help the knees though?
Yes. This is a good question. So a lot of your joint issue, if my knee hurts, more than often, your knee is not the cause. Your knee is the victim of something else that's not working well because your body and joints are all interconnected. So I realized, or my physio realized, that the reason why my knees are sometimes inflamed or it hurts is because the dance that I do requires a lot of hip mobility. And I want to do all these moves that requires hip mobility, but my hips are not mobile enough to open up, and my knees are forced to go in an angle that they're not capable of going, but think they can go. Mm. And that's why I hurt my knees.
So the knee takes all of the pressure.
Yes.
I see. Yeah. Okay. That's something new. That's new to me, like, at least. All right, guys, we got to stretch.
Yes.
Safely.
Stretching is different from mobility, though.
Yeah.
We definitely need to get my physio on board for your podcast. I
don't have any idea what we're talking about.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Okay, we'll try and get him on board.
Yeah, because stretching is muscles. Mobility is joints.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I assume that, like, the methods to, like, improve those two, they're vastly different, right?
Yeah, they're different.
Okay, cool. Damn, I love this episode.
Me too.
The last one. If you had a billboard anywhere and you can print whatever you want on it, what would it say?
I would say, I know you are scared, but you got this. It's time.
Oh. Ooh, I need that on a t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah. You have to make that happen.
Yeah. On the back of the shirt, right? On the back. So people like behind you in class, they're reading that. I know you are scared, but you got this. Oh, I got this. But this is
it's not a billboard, it's a backboard.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Before we end this episode, do you have any final words of wisdom that you want to share with all of our listeners?
I would like to encourage everyone to not just work on your dance, but find yourself as a human being. Find who you are, because more than often you need that to carry you through this journey. And just being good at dance alone is not enough, or at least not enough for me, because I always find myself, especially when things are not going well in dance, I always find this human connection or this humanness to what I am or what I'm going through, you know, and using that back in your dance just creates a different layer to your art and your message. Find yourself, work on yourself as a human being, at the same time, work on your dance, and always, as much as you can, do it with good intention, with authenticity, and just be kind to people and to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Be kind to yourself. That's very, very important. Where can our listeners find you if they want to learn more about you?
You can find me on my Instagram at definitelymaybe_, which is a definitelymaybe_.
Yeah.
And if it's on TikTok, it's a double underscore because I forgot my password, so I had to create a new one. So double underscore.
Now remember that, guys. It's a single underscore for Instagram, double underscore for TikTok.
Yes, sir. And for Babel Dance, it's babel.dance on both Instagram and TikTok. We also have a website. So because we're legit.us, we have a website.
We just want to say thank you so much, Maybelline, for, like, coming on to this podcast. You have been a real icon and a real pillar of our local dance scene. Our scene is, like, really, really tiny, you know? So, and you have done a lot of work. You might not feel that you are doing a lot, but trust me, a lot of people that we talk to, you are really, like, one of the ones that they really look up to. So please keep on doing what you do. And we really, really love talking to you. We've always wanted to, like, have a good and long conversation with you. We've learned so much, Deanna and me, and I'm sure, like, our listeners will love it as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm wonderful.
Thank you, guys. I'm very honored to be on this chat, and I'm not used to be on this side of questioning, but I've truly, truly enjoyed this experience. And I have as well listened to a few of your shows, and I can honestly say that you guys have progressed so much from the very first episode. And I feel like this pandemic has cost us quite a lot, especially on performers and dancers. But one of the good things that has came up from the pandemic is actually this podcast.
Oh,
really? I feel like, because you guys went from being on Clubhouse, right? To this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like this is one of the really good things that come out for the dance scene is this podcast and you guys creating conversations. So important because we obviously cannot be mom out session with everyone at one go, you know.
Yeah.
I really hope that people will tune into all of your episodes, man. I try to as well. I try to make time to listen to it. So I do listen to it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, I would tend to cry for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Really.
Thank you, Maybelline.
Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
And shout out to Sean. Back end work. People don't see, but you're doing good work too, Sean. JB friend.
Thank you so much.
The difficult jobs I'll give to JB people because they can do it.
Ah, that was such a good conversation with Maybelline. She has such a wholesome personality and it just shines through the audio waves. If you enjoyed this episode, please give a 5-star review and share this on your socials. And of course, subscribe if you haven't already so you don't miss out on our season finale episode with your co-hosts, Izaz, Ellie, and myself, Diana, and also producer Sean. Till then, stay healthy and keep dancing!